And kind of fun is going to be to find out what is happening in opera around here with Inland Northwest Opera, known as INO. And the person who bears a lot of that responsibility is Don Volsky. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Vern.
And not creating it. It's got well created over many decades, but transitioning and growing an opera company is a million things. And it sounds like you're doing several with a kids show, with a summer show, with a fall show. And so, first, talk about just kind of the energy and the vibe behind the overview of what you're accomplishing.
Well, thanks, Vern. It's a really exciting time for opera in the community right now. You know, we had two incredible opera companies here for many years, Spokane Opera and Opera Coeur d'Alene, and we weren't able to sustain both at the same time. And so Opera Coeur d'Alene transitioned last year to fill the gap and to really serve the entire community as INO, Inland Northwest Opera. And we got a great response from the entire community last year, which was really encouraging. And so what we've transitioned towards is a company that really is trying to reach out to people where they are. And the biggest opera lovers are going to travel all over for us, but we will also travel to you. So we are in Spokane for our main stage. We've got our Opera on the Boat, which sells out really quickly. It's a favorite. It's a sunset comedic opera that happens in July on Lake Coeur d'Alene. We have our huge gala here in Hayden Lake. And then our education program is just going all over the place for this children's opera. So we are looking next year at actually expanding for a few more events to kind of hit that sweet spot where we can reach everyone and really keep that excitement year round. But the response from the community has been humbling and overwhelming, I think. It's
nice.
Great. Yeah.
So you have to some extent a tiger by the tail.
Yeah. Am I the tiger or is the opera the tiger? It's been a ride for sure. Mateusz and I, you know, everyone knows my husband, the concertmaster of the Spokane Symphony. He and I are just so invested in the arts in this region, and we're trying to do the best that we can to make this a place where we want to raise our child and where everyone else wants to come back. And one of the really exciting things we're seeing in our community right now as well is that some of these, we used to kind of have more of a gap in that 20 to 30-ish age range. People would go away and then maybe come back when they were having kids, and that's not true anymore. People are coming back right away. And so we actually also have started a program called CODA, which is super cute, for people in the ages of 21 to 35, where they can learn a little bit about opera. We're collaborating with Spokane Young Professionals. We're just trying to get everybody excited about art, because it's one of those things that, well, I don't have to sell this to you. You certainly know as well as anyone, but it's one of those things that brings people together. And, you know, from the beginning to the end of one of these concerts, we hope that you feel differently. You know, it might only be a couple hours, but it does transform you a little bit. And so we're excited and invested in this region. So it's a good time.
Don Volsky, the director of INO, in the Northwest Opera. And so let's go move right to this educational thing, because that's the immediate, that's the present. And the toy shop is, I think that's the name of it, isn't it? And who's the composer? What's the material that you use in this?
Well, Seymour Barab, and he is most well known for his children's operas, actually. He's written quite a few. He's got Little Red Riding Hood, and he's got a Cinderella, and he's got some others. And we have about five or six children's operas that we go through so that most of the children don't see the same one during their time in elementary school. But we have our director here the toy shop, Maria Caprile. She can tell you a little bit about the material probably even better than I can.
Sure, and we'll bring Maria in a minute. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
And I guess from either of you, I still kind of want to know how one defines a children's opera. I mean, you mentioned that Seymour Barab has five or six children's opera. What defines a children's opera?
That's a great question, because we don't always do specific operas that are, you know, specifically written for children, and I think we can reach them with great stories no matter what. But I think it's a little bit more. We did Hansel and Gretel last year, of course, which was Humperdinck and not a specifically for children. But the children's operas really kind of explore themes that are even more relevant to them. There's a lot more silliness, I think, in the text and in the characters. And it's really wonderful because they also are exploring specific themes about acceptance and about what to do if someone is not feeling, well, what's the right way to describe this, Maria? I'm thinking about how the toy shop really is talking about, you know, kids, for example, especially today in our bullying, challenges and culture in the school system, trying to keep children from feeling isolated, and how it is that we reach out to each other in times of distress, whereas the adult operas are, might have a little bit more love and tragedy and
issues which would relate to kids' lives. It sounds like it's
and
what
standing
you're
up
saying.
To adversity. I mean, this is really big today.
So Maria, talk about how you see the core, what is the story? What is the message of a children's opera?
Well, children's opera in general, I think, have to appeal to children. They have to have childish or childlike characters that they can identify with. And last year I directed INO's production of Hansel and Gretel, which was a blast. And my vision was that Hansel and Gretel were both incredibly bratty, because it has been my experience in directing children's theater, which I have a long history in, that children love to see other children being bad. Even if they're not bad themselves, they just love that. It's so fun for them. And we really had a great time with that. And this show, The Toy Shop, is also about two children, so to speak. They are a boy and a girl doll. They are dolls made by a toy maker, who specializes in mechanical toys. So these are mechanical dolls that have been created to dance the minuet, and that makes them very, very special. But in their other life, in their own minds, they wish that they were real children. They see the toy maker as their father, and they have this desire to be able to connect with him and speak to him, and he cannot hear them. And so they have these conversations with each other about how they wish their emotions could be realized and that they could have communication with him. And I won't give away the ending, but everybody lives happily ever after.
And so that's great. I mean, that defined it well. And so is it four singers and a pianist?
That is correct. Yes.
The goal. And how long is it, like, probably a 45-minute show?
Something like that. I think it's 40 or 50 minutes.
Yeah. That you do. And so now where are you doing them? Are you taking them to the schools? Are people coming to you? Where's this happening?
Well, I'm directing it all next week in Coeur d'Alene at the First Presbyterian Church, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I believe donates that space, so that's really incredible. And
well, we have three public performances. Those are free to the public. We have two in Coeur d'Alene and one in Spokane. And then we are in schools and actually the Children's Hospital as well for the children and their parents at Shriners. But we are in elementary schools all over the region, about half in eastern Washington and half in northern Idaho. We're at the tribal schools as well. We have 23 schools that we're actually hitting this year, and then the public performances. So it's a bit, I think I answered your question. We're sort of all over.
Exactly. So 23 performances or so, give or take.
23 schools, and
then three public performances that anyone can come to.
The public performances anyone can come to and bring your kids. We've got one at First Presbyterian Church. These are all on our website too. But one at First Presbyterian Church, one at the Coeur d'Alene Library, and then one at West Central Community Center, which is really a big thing for us and a great thing for that community there as well. So, and it's our first time. It's the first time they've ever held an opera there, and they're really excited, and we're really excited. So,
that'll be wonderful.
Well, thank you, Maria. And so that's your responsibility. And And otherwise, you live far away and work, what, in Arizona or something?
Yeah, my husband and I winter in Tucson, Arizona. We have a home down there. And I'm also the artistic director of a local theater in Tucson, Winding Road Theater Ensemble. So I have a pretty busy theatrical year. And then I came here, and we just arrived this week. And so I've been gearing up to direct the opera all next week.
Good. And thank you. And,
well, we first met, I have to say this, though.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, Mateusz and I have been here for almost 12 years, and we first met Maria and her husband, Tony, actually through the opera, through Spokane mm-hmm. Opera. Tony was the impresario in that dinner theater there, and I might have smacked him around a little bit by accident
live on stage.
So
she got a little excited.
You know, everything just sort of crosses paths.
Sure. That's the arts in this area.
Yeah.
So now back to your other two productions that that we're focusing on. First, when you do the boat, and as you say, it sells out. And are you now lashing two boats together? It's grown to that.
We are lashing three boats together,
wow.
Vern. Which actually is fantastic. That's all they've got. Those are all the that's all the three boats they have that we can do that on Lake Coeur d'Alene. But it's actually turned out to be the best situation because our stage is right in the center of the three boats, and so nobody's far away, and it's theater in the round, and we almost always do a comedy, sometimes a little bit lighter operetta. This year we thought Così fan tutte by Mozart would
Wonderful.
Be right up that alley, and it's just an incredible cast, and tickets are already selling really fast right now, so we're excited. And you know, I have to say, in the 2 years since I've been here, I've been really eager to get Heather and Derek Parker together mm-hmm. back on the stage of opera here. They are so beloved by this community. Mm-hmm. They are also international opera singers and so talented. And yet we've got them together. So they are the Despina and Don Alfonso,
wow.
who they're kind of the masterminds playing the long con, the long
right,
joke
yeah.
there for that 2 hours and just twisting everybody's emotions around. And mm-hmm. so I think the two of them are going to be hilarious.
Yeah, and then singers from all kinds of places filling it out.
Yeah, Seattle Opera, Washington National Opera. Yeah. Tim Augustine, I know you had him last mm-hmm. year, and he's actually moving to Sweden in a hot second here. So he is, we're lucky to have him.
Yeah. Good. So that's what you do in the summer. And then the big production,
yeah.
which is always what you do in fairly early September. And
mm-hmm.
so then you're going back to Puccini, right?
We sure are. This is a big project. It's really exciting. And after our success last year at the Fox Theater with Marriage of Figaro, we're returning to the Fox this year, which is fantastic and exciting. Butterfly is it's a hard one to cast. It's just a big show, and it's a real emotional ride,
mm-hmm.
I think, especially as a new mom. This is a particularly hard one for me this year to see,
sure.
without giving a spoiler, mm-hmm. to really see where the show goes. And mm-hmm. and we have elevated everything this year. We've got we've always had incredible cast. But we really we went to one of the most popular and sought after butterflies in the entire nation at the moment.
Wow.
She was hard to get, but we got Elizabeth Caballero to come and do this. She just sang Mimi at the Met.
Mm.
She
is, and she's been here before.
She has been here before. Just before she had been singing at the Met, but her career has taken a real turn since she was here last, and she was here for our Musetta in 2015.
Uh-huh.
So we have her. Chad Shelton is making his first appearance here, and I should have sent that to you ahead of time. He is uh-huh. just one of the most incredible tenors on the scene right now, one of those big, lustrous, just full, beautiful Puccini voices that never sounds like it's working hard and yet is always connected to your gut. And Sandra Eddy is coming back. Mm-hmm. Sandra Peaks Eddy, who is our Carmen twice. She's actually coming back as Suzuki.
Okay.
And she and Elizabeth did Carmen together at the Met years ago. She and our sharpless Corey McKern have done roles together at Nashville Opera together. And I should actually really mention, so crucial to the community here, for everyone who is a big fan of Spokane Opera, which I hope is everyone. Dean Williamson is coming back to conduct.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah,
Dean
yeah.
was the conductor for Spokane Opera for so many years, and 20 years ago is when he quit playing at Seattle Opera, and he was trying to cut his teeth as a conductor. And he said the day that he quit, and it was his last day, he just thought, oh, my gosh, what did I do? Is this the direction my career needs to go? And that day, Bill Graham called him up and said, are you available to come conduct Madame Butterfly with Spokane Opera? And it was like a sign. and he came out, and that was kind of where he started to cut his teeth. 20 years later, he's huge in the business. He's musical director at Nashville Opera, and he's you know, conducted mm-hmm. all over. But he's returning back to the scene of his awakening, kind of, mm-hmm. as an opera conductor. So we're giving that to him, and he's giving that back to us, and it's incredible.
It's kind of a neat timing, I'm guessing, that by doing fairly early September, you're getting a lot of these people before they're busy with their otherwise season starting. Has it been a little bit easier to cast for that reason?
That is absolutely right. So we're on September 20th and 22nd. That's mm-hmm. that third weekend of September. And a lot of the other opera companies are starting right up in October. So that does give yeah. us the opportunity to get them in. And then for this region, we're catching people before they head out for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good time. And it's kind of funny. Both Dean, our conductor, and Elizabeth Caballero, the butterfly, are taking a red eye after our performance on the 22nd to fly to Nashville to do the same opera there, Nashville Opera. So to give you an idea of the cast that we have. Yeah. We're getting some good people, but it's always hard. You just want the absolute best person for the role. And Butterfly is hard to cast because you need someone who starts as this just absolutely innocent young girl and ends with a maturity and a gravity that is transformative. And Liz can really do that. So
that will be next September 20th and 22nd, you said.
Yeah, 20th and 22nd, Friday evening and Sunday. And those tickets don't go on sale, single tickets, until July. Mm-hmm. But right now we're doing all of our subscriptions. And so mm-hmm. if you buy Cozy and the Butterfly at the same time, you can get a discount on subscription. Mm-hmm. And we partnered with the Symphony on that as well and added an option where if you wanted to get three events, you could attend their Mahler second next May. Mm-hmm. So we're just,
okay. good.
It's a good time. It's great.
INO, they call themselves now in the Northwest Opera and the next three productions they're doing. Thanks, certainly
Don
Volsky and Maria Caprile.
Thank you.
For coming in.